Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
This, let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. God doesn't want you to just have any type of faith. He wants you to have a faith that is alive, that is strong, that is vigorous. He doesn't want you to have a wimpy faith that's just going to fall at times when things get hard. He wants you to have a strong faith. And there are two ways that God can grow our faith to strengthen. The first way is he grows it through his word. He doesn't just want you to read the Bible, but he wants you to know the Bible, to study the Bible, to listen to the Bible, to memorize the Bible, to talk about the Bible with your friends and your family. Why? Because God's word says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God in Romans 10. That's why we do the discipleship course every week. You know, if you feel like your faith is weak, then it's more than likely that you're not in the Bible as often as you should be. But the more that you get into God's book, the more it will feed your soul. God's word is soul food for the soul. And spending time in it is the easiest way to grow your faith. So if you're not on that discipleship course yet, get into it. The second way that God grows your faith is the hard way. Through circumstances that are tough, that are there to test you. And while we may read the Bible only a little bit in a day, we have things happening all around us 24 hours a day that just takes our mind, takes our focus on away from God. But God uses those circumstances and he uses them to grow your faith and to build your character. If you were to picture a faith like a muscle has to have some sort of resistance. It has to be stretched. It has to be tested with weight on it. Muscle growth starts first by ripping. You have to rip your muscle. And then there's that pain stage where the muscle hurts. But in that comes the healing where the muscle grows. But it doesn't just restore, it grows bigger and stronger. If you don't use your muscles waste away. And it's the same with our faith. We don't grow faith just by sitting around and saying we want more faith. Faith needs to be tested, so God allows certain circumstances to happen in our life to build our faith muscle. And God cares about you so much, and he cares about your faith, that you can know that he will always answer the prayer, Lord, I need more faith. Lord, give me more faith. Increase my faith. And we need to make that our prayer as God grows our faith through his word and through circumstances that test you. I remember quite a few years ago, I was in a really dark place. It was the most testing time of my life. So many things happened at once in relationships, in friendships, losing my job. It was so many things, falling out with friends, falling out with family. So many things happened at once. And have you ever been in that place where you're so rock bottom, you go, forget this. Why am I doing this? I wanted to throw the towel in. I didn't want to come to church anymore. I didn't want to follow God. It's like, God, why are you allowing this to happen? Why is this happening to me? And the amount of times I wanted to pick up my Bible and read it and struggle, the amount of times I wanted to come in and worship God and struggled, God gave me the word, don't give up, keep going when times get tough, because God is more interested in what I'm becoming rather than what I've achieved. Corinthians 4 says this, that is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are quite small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that we cannot see. For the things we now see will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. 2 Corinthians 4. You know, I used to ask myself that same question. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do we have to suffer? Why is life so difficult sometimes? And in that moment, as difficult as it was to understand, God can use our pain for his purpose. Don't be surprised if he's using your tough times right now in your life to build your faithfulness and to test your faith. Faithful people keep on going when other people choose to give up. Faithful people are diligent and determined. They are persistent. They change their perspective and focus on God's promises in his word. If you want to persist, don't look at the temporary problem. Look at the long-term gain. Don't look at the temporary pain, but look at the long-term gain. Don't look at the short-term view. Instead, look at the character that you are building because you haven't given up and you're hanging in there because God is more interested in what you're going to become rather than what you've already achieved. And if you're facing difficult times, memorize this verse, Galatians 6:9. Let's not get tired of doing what is good, because at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Amen. And I pray that that would encourage you to continue. God is working in you and for you. And at just the right time, in just the right way, you will be rewarded for your faithfulness. But you know what? Waiting is hard. Waiting is hard. I waited for years. I had to go through an amount of years for God to do something in that moment. But you know what? Waiting is the evidence of your faith. Psalm 40 verse 1, Lloyd sings it in one of his songs. I waited patiently upon the Lord and he turned to me and he heard my cry. That's one of the most obvious pieces of evidence of faith. It's how we respond in the waiting rooms of life. And the question is, how long can you wait? How long can you hold out in those tough times? That's the mark of maturity. I remember being a child, I hated waiting. I hated it. Mum, how long's till dinner? Oh, not yet. How long's a piece of string? That's not what I want to hear. I don't want to wait. It's like you've been on a car journey, like, are we there yet? That is the one question you hate. And I'll tell you what, parents, do you feel it? Do you feel it? Children haven't learned the difference between no and not yet. And if you tell them not yet, we think straight away that it means it's never going to happen. But as we get older, we learn that that's not the case. And spiritual maturity is the ability to wait. Faith is waiting for the answer and understanding that sometimes that answer is delayed. Right now, you could be praying for a financial breakthrough. You could be praying for a spiritual breakthrough. You could be praying for your wife, your husband, your career, your ministry, maybe a financial breakthrough. You're still praying for it now. And I'll tell you this, in God's plan, timing is so crucial. Many times it may be the right thing that we're praying for, but just the wrong time. You don't want to get behind God. You don't want to get in front of God. You want to be in time with God. God's timing is perfect in your job, in your ministry, in your marriage, in your relationship, even in your education. It's an answer to prayer in every area of your life. And when we look at Scripture, we see how the Israelites, they waited on God for so long. And we see how they responded. They waited on God to free them from slavery out of Egypt for 400 years. And then they had to wait another 80 years once Moses came on the scene to be actually set free. Moses spent 40 years in Pharaoh's home. He spent 40 years in the back end of the desert getting trained by God. And then he came back at 80 years of age and finally led God's people out of Egypt. God's timing is perfect. I'm currently in that waiting stance, that waiting position right now. God is doing so much in my life and in the workplace as well. God, I speak about my workplace all the time because God is moving amazingly in it. And he can do the same for you. But right now, God is doing something in my workplace where I'm kind of waiting to go, right, God, am I going this way or am I going that way? Like, am I staying in the workplace or am I leaving the workplace? You know, there's so many carrots that get dangled in front of you in life. Sometimes you're not supposed to bite the first carrot that gets dangled. Sometimes you have to wait. And that's the position I am in. And how we respond to those waiting rooms of life is the evidence of our faith. And I ask you this, are you waiting with integrity? Your integrity shows your faithfulness. Luke 16:10 says this, whoever is faithful in small matters will be faithful in large ones. And whoever is dishonest in small matters will be dishonest in large ones. It's common today to hear people say, what you do in your private life is nobody's business. That isn't true. What you do in your private life, behind closed doors, out of view of other people, it builds up and reveals your true character. And God sees it just as clearly as you do in public. In fact, the small unseen things that you do are the seeds of God's public blessing on your life. You cannot separate your life and say, I have integrity in my public life, just not in my private life. It doesn't work. and we look at celebrities in the world. We look at Lance Armstrong. He was a champion cyclist. He dominated that sport. He was a champion. But that champion status is now tarnished because in his private life, he was taking in performance-enhanced drugs. Tiger Woods, a champion on the golf course. No one has ever done it like him before. A champion golfer. Champion status tarnished because in his private life, he was in adultery. And we don't judge these guys, but the principle is nothing new. Jesus said, if you have not been faithful with what belongs to someone else, who will give you what belongs to you? For centuries, everybody learned a skill. We learned a trade. Everyone learned it as an apprentice. And as the apprentice, you had the responsibility of someone else's business before you was entrusted with your own. And the principle of apprenticeship applies to every area of our life. It applies to how you handle other people's money, other people's possessions, and how you handle other people's ministries before God gives you your own. Matthew 6:6. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen, and then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Before God gives me my own ministry, I serve wherever I can under Clive's leadership and ministry. And God is watching to see how I handle it. He is testing my integrity, and I need to prove my faithfulness in everything I'm doing under Clive's ministry, because God is watching and he is testing my integrity, and he is doing the exact same thing to you. And you show that you can be trusted in the big things by doing the right thing in the small things. Are we living a life of integrity, or are you living a life like Thomas did? Are you doubting? Are you a doubter? Do you doubt your own ability? God works perfectly through you. If you're struggling with that, then here are some emotions you can look for that can help you know when you're doubting God. When you become impatient, sometimes. Yeah, come on, let's be honest and vulnerable here. Do we struggle with impatience?
Yeah.
It reveals our doubt in God's perfect timing. God has a plan for your life, but he's never going to be in a hurry to do it. And that's easy to forget when we want things to happen on our own accord, on our own timetable. So what do? We take matters into our own hands instead of waiting on God. Are we struggling with impatience? Do we trust in God's perfect timing? I'll come back to that one. If we are resentful or bitter, we doubt God's wisdom. God is wise and good and loving, amen? But when things don't turn out the way that we plan, the way that we want, we think that he messed up somehow. We think that God's got it wrong. And we don't believe that he can bring good out of a bad situation. So do we truly believe that God is wise, God is good, and God is loving? When we dwell on guilty feelings, that reveals your unbelief in God's forgiveness over your life. How long should a follower feel guilty? 1 second. Because that's how long it takes to confess a sin. And if you're carrying around guilt, it means that you can't forgive yourself because you believe that God hasn't forgiven you. Is God a forgiving God? When you feel inadequate, when you feel like you can't achieve, Clive, I really encourage you to bring this later. We was at a leaders conference and Clive was talking about working class. Like some people in the work, I was the same. Some people in the working class don't feel they're inadequate to do big things because of education, because of knowledge. They don't feel they can achieve all these great things. They can't achieve bigger and better than what they think they can. But if we believe that, then we're doubting God's power. God has said that his power shows up best in our weaknesses. And when we don't believe that it shows, we think that power should come from ourselves. And if we think that, then we're always going to be disappointed. Do you want to turn around from those ways of thinking? Those ways of fear, those ways of impatience, resentment, guilt, and inadequacy? Then we need to start doubting our doubts instead of doubting ourselves and doubting God. If you believe in God's word, then you can trust what it says about God and the way that he feels about you and takes care of you. And you can trust that God keeps his promises. He has perfect timing. He is wise. He forgives you and he works powerfully through you. And I want to quickly focus real quick on God's timing. God is always on time. God's timing is perfect even when we don't understand it. Habakkuk 2:3 says, the vision will still happen at the appointed time. It hurries towards its goal. It won't be a lie. If it's delayed, wait for it. It will certainly happen. It won't be late. God is never in a hurry and he's never late. He is always on time. God's timing is perfect even when we don't understand it. And we'll never, let's be honest, we're never going to understand God's timing. God's on a different wavelength to us. He has a different view of time because he is timeless. God's timelessness has big implications for our lives. When God created you, he put a dream in your heart. And most people start off with a big vision, a big dream in their life. And let me ask this question. Do you know what your dream is in your life? Do you know what God's vision is for your life? While we start off early in life with a vision, as time goes on, more and more people give up on their dream because it doesn't happen quick enough. It doesn't happen when we want it to happen. And maybe you've had your dream battered. Maybe you've had your dream broken. Maybe you're discouraged and disappointed that you've buried your dream. You've given up on it. God doesn't want you to. If God gave you a dream in your life, and he's placed a dream in each and every one of us, it's going to happen. It just must happen on his timetable, not ours. God says this about your dream. I'll repeat it again. Habakkuk 2:3. The vision will still happen. In fact, let's proclaim this over our life. The vision will still happen at the appointed time. It hurries towards its goal. It won't be a lie. If it's delayed, wait for it. It will certainly happen. It won't be late. And I want you to remember a powerful truth in this season you're in. God is never early in your life, and he's never late in your life. God is always on time. And I'm on time. Wicked. Okay. As faithful people, we have faith in God. God's going to give us a new faith today, but that faith that he gives us is not ours to hold on to. Faithful people share their faith. Matthew 9:2 says, some men brought to him a paralyzed man lying on a mat, and when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. Now, if you've accepted the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ by his grace, then you've received the best gift that could ever be offered to anyone. But have you shared that gift with others since you've become a Christian? Just like the paralyzed man in this verse, we have friends and family and loved ones who are spiritually paralyzed and they can't get to Jesus. They are paralyzed by fear. They are paralyzed by guilt, by doubt, by pain, by resentment of being hurt in their life, maybe even being hurt by church. They're blind by the things that have been covered up by the world, by the media. They are paralyzed and they can't get to Jesus on their own. And God is watching to see if you will be faithful enough to bring them. And if you are, God will honor your faith. He's not just going to bless your friend or your family. He's also going to bring a blessing to you. And it's going to be a blessing of faith. If a church will keep reaching out to more unbelievers, God will keep blessing it. The moment we get into a position where we say the church doesn't need to grow anymore, then we're saying that we don't care about the world and we have an attitude that's inconsistent with God's purpose and priorities. But if we keep bringing spiritually paralyzed people to Jesus, God will bless our churches and he will bless our lives. Do we want that blessing on our lives? Do you want, in fact, can we just stand? I feel like there's a time of activation and I'm still on time. This is great. There's a time of activation right now. As I'm preparing this, as I was going through this, I really felt like God was going to give us a gift of new faith. He was going to restore our faith where it's damaged. He's going to give us a blessing of new faith. Who wants that today? You know what? Let's just lift up our hands, open up. In fact, let's step out in faith and pray for others. Get into two or threes. Get with someone around you. Lay your hand on the person next to your shoulder. And we're just going to pray a blessing of faith. We're going to pray together for God to release a new life of faith into each and every one of us. Do we want that, church? We were at the leaders' conference this week. And there was a story that was spoken about Jesus turning water into wine. And that is an act of faith. The act of faith. If we want more faith in our lives, then the first thing we have to do is be obedient and trust in God. And Jesus was at a party, at a wedding, and there was a problem. They ran out of wine. And Mary, in faith, came to Jesus and told her about the problem. And Jesus said, "Woman, this is not my time yet." But Mary acted in obedience and turned to the servants and says, "Do whatever he tells you." And that's the message for us today. The message is do whatever Jesus tells you to do. And you know what? It's a simple thing. It's a simple thing, just like filling up four jugs of water. Four jugs of water that can hold 30 to 40 litres of water. And the next thing he does is fill up the water and take it to the master of the banquet. And what happens when the master of the banquet tasted it? He said, "Everyone brings out the good wine first and the cheap wine after everyone has drunk too much. But you have saved the best till last." And it's the same with God today. God has saved the best till last in your life today. If you think that you're inadequate and you can't achieve much, God has saved the best till last in your life today. God is going to give you a new faith. So let's just pray right now for each other. Pray right now for each other, for God to give you a steadfast faith, for God to put that new faith in you that is on fire and that burns bright and that can accomplish all the impossible things in your life. Keep praying over each other, guys. As Steve ministers to us, keep praying.